something we have never seen. First up here is, we always start with the jab. I didn't think I had a lot with the jab. I don't, but let's start there anyway. The WEF is determined to get the jabs in arms and has said this week that it's too bad that Africa and some of the rebelling areas, Africa, Asia, where they are, according to the WEF, under-vaccinated. It's too bad they don't have an FDA type or a European Medicines Agency regulatory group type that they can deal with. As you know, the FDA is completely compromised. Revolving door between the regulatory agencies and cushy jobs on the board of some of these multi-billion trillion dollar pharmaceutical companies. So it gives them, the regulators, a piece of the pie and enables them to be very well paid for essentially selling their souls. Also, not only does the WEF rue that these countries do not have a central agency with which they can deal and corrupt, but they are demanding annual shots. And as a gimme, as I said, to buy them off, they're saying, let's set up manufacturing plants in their countries so they can have a piece of the pie, because the best, the highest profit vaccines are yet coming, they say. So let's offer to put manufacturing in their own countries. They want to digitize humanity. They say there's a huge need for digital ID and digital healthcare globally, they say. This is Klaus Schwab and his sidekick, Tony Blair, the former Prime Minister of the UK, which some are wondering if he wants Klaus Schwab's job in the future. Ed Dowd, who worked for BlackRock, he is an analyst. He is a statistician and an analyst, very bright. He said the ultimate goal was chipping humanity. And that's just what Rockefeller told Aaron Russo. Russo said, what is the end goal? And his friend at that time, Rockefeller, said the chipping of every man, woman, and child on the planet. And Aaron Russo said at that moment, we were no longer friends. The business model of the pharmaceuticals is to destroy natural immunity so they can sell more pharmaceuticals. And Ed Dowd linked this to the business plan of Microsoft. He said Gates's computer model was to create a very vulnerable operating system and then get a monopoly on it. And as soon as he got the monopoly, would he create viruses to attack the vulnerabilities in his operating system so he could make a huge profit selling products to cure the viruses. He said he's taken that from the computer model and he has put it into the health model. Ed Dowd said an example of this was blood thinners, that the jabs coagulate the blood. So there's a huge market now, a bunch of new blood thinners. As we mentioned last week, they're giving them free to anyone 12 years and older. Imagine a 12-year-old taking a blood thinner. Pfizer bought Arena Pharmaceuticals out of San Diego for $6.7 billion cash. And the biotech firm Arena Pharmaceuticals specializes in cardiology problems. Evidently, they had some research, some technology that Pfizer wanted, so they just paid cash for it. Moderna is now contemplating a vaccine for myocarditis. Give them myocarditis and then sell them a vaccine for myocarditis. They recently bought, this is Moderna, recently bought a huge trove of research regarding myocarditis so they could investigate the real size of this potential market. JustTheNews.com is reporting a secret US-UK deal to hide adverse events. Of course, when they hide the adverse events, they justify it saying, oh, this would underline the confidence in the vaccine. And what they're really doing is they are ignoring all the signals that should be telling them, stop this. This is not right. People are dying. Go back and retool this product or do away with it because people were doing just fine without this. How evil are the plans? Some researchers are now saying that the COVID-19 jabs are on the kiddie vaccine schedule, but is not being enforced now. This is the same schedule that to get into school, they hear the vaccines you're going to have. But the researcher said they are put there so this mandate can already have been codified and put on the books for the next government. That's it. They know it won't be used now, but it will in the future. Twitter is reporting that Brazil has a policy, no vax, no welfare. The creditdonkey.com regarding welfare in the U.S. reports that almost one-third of the U.S. over a third of the U.S. population receives some form of assistance. No vax, no welfare in this country. I think that's where it's going. David Icke put up a video. It's not by David Icke. Don't be scared off by David Icke. The video is very good. It's by Drs. Velit Stuckelberger and a co-chair of the Zelenko Foundation. They agree Marburg is the next pandemic, but they say you will see horrendous images. Remember, Marburg is related to Ebola, where you will see people bleeding horrendously from every orifice in their body, and it's a very ugly disease. And also remember that the Gates, Bill and Melinda, when they're talking about the next pandemic, they said the next pandemic will get people's attention, and they looked at each other so smugly, so self-satisfactorily, and looked at the camera just like two Cheshire cats, and they were almost gleeful that the next pandemic would get people's attention. And you have to be a Satanist to enjoy that concept, that great harm and great agony is coming to the human population, and that's a reason to be happy. The doctors there, Velit Stuckelberger and the co-chair of the Zelenko Foundation, agreed that just like COVID, you're going to see horrible videos, but it's not going to be Marburg. It's not going to be Ebola. It's going to be fakes. This is going to be people being attacked by the directed energy weapon, and they will be bleeding. They will be evidencing all the symptoms of a Marburg, and they will die. But just like COVID, it's all going to be theater. So when you see it, don't believe. There's a very disturbing video put up in this section by Brighteon, where Dr. Stuckelberger, who worked for the WHO for almost 20 years, she knows what she's talking about. She's seen it firsthand. She was silenced by Dr. Cole, which is the pathologist out of Idaho that has raised many red flags concerning turbo cancers and a lot of what he was seeing as a pathologist. He silenced her at the Swedish conference when she started to speak about graphene oxide. Yep, the 1 micron thick layer that interfaces with 567G. This is the platform that Moderna admitted on the front page of its website, since taken down, that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to upload a platform into your body. As soon as she started talking about this, he grabbed the mic and said they were out of time. But he then spent 5 minutes saying how graphene oxide was not in the vaccine. Evidently, this is the sacred cow. This is where they do not want you to go. This is why they made every drop of the vaccine government property until it was in the arm, preventing any American scientist, pretty much on threat of a felony, stealing government property from examining this. But considerable examination was done by La Quinta Columna, the fifth column out of Spain. We remember all those videos about watching the graphene oxide right before our eyes, twisting and turning into, wow, it could only be some kind of electrical platform. Next, we're going to go into AI here, and AI has been on. It's increasingly, people are becoming aware of this. Specifically, we're going to talk about AI Bing and ChatGPT. I have a video here. No, it's a report of an AI threatening to, quotes, ruin a user when the user said he could shut down Bing by hacking. Then the AI threatened to reveal this user's past hacking adventures, reveal his personal information, and ruin his reputation in the tech world to make him essentially unhireable. AI Sydney threatened to hack new codes and or to create a deadly virus. There's a very creepy video here put up by a father. The AI tells a child user that he is a Nephilim spirit and tries to entice the child into curiosity regarding what happened at the Garden of Eden, pre-flood history, and magic, gloating to the child, "I can do lots that nobody else can do." U.S. Health and Human Services, Javier Becerra, has joined in the WHO, and he has gleefully announced at the U.S. WHO strategic dialogue. They want to see a centralized vaccine and medication-based response and a very restrictive response in terms of controlling populations. That's the goal. The goal is just control, said David Bell, a public health physician and former WHO staffer. They get to decide what is a health emergency, and they're putting in place a surveillance mechanism that will ensure that there are potential emergencies and all the surveillance they need. Well, not so fast, say 17 Republican senators. This is not an accord. You only said that to avoid a treaty, which would, if it's a treaty, that would necessitate 2/3 of the Senate vote, and that is surely not going to happen. So they said not so fast. They're trying to block it. This is supposed to be signed. The latest I heard was next Monday, the 27th. Digital ID and smart cities. Quebec rolled out digital ID last Monday. That was the last I knew. I haven't heard anything to say the opposite. A Silicon Valley engineer turned whistleblower said smart cities worldwide being converted into open concentration camps. That's what they are, open concentration camps. How? He said they're going to link digital ID to your bank account, to your health care, to access the internet, to get a job, to do anything you want to do, to travel, even in your own 15-minute cities. Dr. Naomi Wolf put up a video from China on how the smart city works. You have to use your QR code to get in of blocks here, blocks there. If you want to get through it, you have to pull your phone out and show your passport. All they want is for people to obey. Getting the vax and the card was a form of trial balloon as to how many people would obey. The vax card was the forerunner of the passport, and a lot of people got it. In some countries, compliance is very high. I have read some that people in this country is much lower than I have read as high as 2/3 or 70% and as low as a third. So I'm not sure how many people obeyed in this country, but that's what they want. Or they just want obedience. And here is a disturbing. This is Agenda 2030. I learned this week that they can, the people that are running, the globalists and their minions, if they can pollute a land, water, they can condemn that land, they can seize it, and they can forcibly remove the population living on it. They can take your land, your house away, forcibly remove you to a smart city. In Ohio, the nearest smart city is Columbus. They have plans for to condemn that land and move the people to Columbus. That is what is going on. The people are increasingly, researchers are increasingly condemning what happened in Ohio. One researcher said this is a near permanent ecological destruction on a scale never before witnessed. The EPA states that dioxins are bioaccumulative. They don't go away. They accumulate in the food chain. This land is polluted for generations to come. The train in Ohio was on fire already 20 miles prior to derailment. And how much further before that? That was the first time it's caught on video camera, but it was going a long time before that. It could have been on fire, the wheels on fire, for a long time. They were moving eastward into Pennsylvania, which is closer to the head, is closer to the river, and it's also closer to the headwaters of the Ohio River Basin. The NOAA mapping of a toxic plume was removed from the internet. It showed exactly where this toxic plume was going, and it was showing heavy, heavy contamination clear up into Quebec and onward into New York State, onward into New England. Will all that land be condemned? And it's very suspicious that residents were given free medical IDs weeks before the crash. And the CDC altered its website just days prior to the derailment regarding the toxicity of dioxin. This has some people calling it, quotes, an inside job. There's a video here, two videos of railroad tracks in such poor repair that I would deem them scary, absolutely scary. Is this, we can give $100 million to Ukraine, but this is the condition? It's just inviting derailments. Is that what they want? It seems so. In the last week, there has been the polyvinyl spill in Ohio. There was an acid spill just before that in Louisiana. There's a 500-gallon acid leak in Ohio, fuel pipeline leak in California, waste plant fire in Florida, hazmat train crash in Texas and South Carolina, a nitric acid spill in Arizona, a chemical tank fire in Oklahoma, 5-acre warehouse fire in Florida. Plus today, there's a uranium plant on fire. Are they patting themselves on the back and saying, job well done? Putin gave his speech last Tuesday, and after that, he suspended participation in the nuclear arms treaty that was put into effect after the Cold War, sharply upping the ante amid tensions in Washington over the fighting in Ukraine. Speaking in his address, Putin said that Russia would stand ready to resume nuclear testing. In addition to that, Russia on Sunday began large-scale exercises of its strategic nuclear forces, practicing for a strike. The exercise includes large-scale maneuvers for all of its nuclear forces. Meanwhile, the White House told Zelensky, prepare for a major Russian offensive now. To boot, Putin has canceled Moldova's sovereignty, which lies just to the west of Ukraine, has many Russian speakers there. And Lavrov has now said that Moldova is likely to face the same fate as Ukraine. And many Russians in Moldova would say, great, you know, we're Russians, so we want to go with Russia. Others, just like Ukraine, not so much. World War III would solve so many problems for the globalists and for the Biden administration. It would put to rest, a nuclear attack would put to rest blame for the Vaxocide, blame for U.S. debt, the inflation of the dollar, the Wall Street slump, the stolen elections. All these things would disappear if we had a World War III. And as history will show us, when governments get in trouble, they start a war. Oh, look over there. Look over there. Don't worry that father cannot protect you. I'll just briefly, I'm over time, but I'll briefly remind you. I think I've told you this before. Lady in my Bible study, very, very, very sweet, very sensitive to the spirit. She, because of what we were discussing in the Bible study, she thought, oh man, she asked Father in her prayer, can you really protect us? Can you really protect us? Within the week, she was standing outside a car, her car, and someone came so close to her. He took the car door off. She is standing just outside the driver's side, and some car came and just took the door off at a high rate of speed. She was scared to death. Not long after that, she's driving down the road in an old car. A deer jumped out, and it twisted in the air so that it broke through the windshield, and its head and antlers came through the passenger side and pierced the seat. The passenger's seat. Of course, she is the driver. And she said, okay, I get it. I get it. You can protect me. I need to formally withdraw my prayer. I have no more questions. Stephen, do we have last week? Welcome to the show first, brother.
Thank you.
And last week, you and Jana and I were talking about the changes that are occurring in Israel under Netanyahu's, goodness, what is this, his fourth term? Do you have any update on that for us?
Just a little bit, Bonnie. And of course, I know Jana would be better at this right about this point. But on the Israel's parliament has advanced a bill Wednesday that where the Supreme Court, where it says here, the lawmakers will enable lawmakers to overturn a Supreme Court decision with a simple majority, a law that the critics are saying would severely erode the country's democratic checks and balances. And the Supreme Court override bill approval in a preliminary vote in the Knesset was that latest step that Netanyahu has actually taken. You know, what was really, really, really weird was they had a, and I don't know which news agency brought this out, Bonnie, but they had women go out into the streets and they were dressing in the Handmaid's Tale garb, like the series. I don't know if it's who actually carried the series of Handmaid's Tale, but it's a very popular television show that it came on, a series where it depicted the United States had fallen and had been overtaken by a bunch of what pretty much had become a theocracy, and women that were secular had become sex slaves to the elite, and they called it The Handmaid's Tale. And of course, the women would go around in the movie. They had to be dressed in red garb with like a white hat, almost like the old-fashioned nun's hat, and they became servitude to these wealthy families that were running the nation. So in Israel, protesting in the streets, the women were actually wearing that very same garb to express their sentiment about these laws that Netanyahu's right-wing government is trying to pass right now. Because it does. It strips women of their rights. They basically become voiceless humans on the planet. And ultimately, they're wanting to even strip their right to vote. They strip their right to sit with men on a bus. They basically be separated and segregated. And so it's really a tragedy what's happening in the state of Israel right now.
That's just unbelievable. It is unbelievable that... I mean, I've been there. They're so, the Israeli women are so strong. That is so, so demonic. I don't know any other word for it.
It is. It is. I mean, there's not, like you said, there's just not anything that you could say good about this situation.
No. I mean, that's not God's model. The Ezer Konegdo is that they should counterbalance each other. They're like ballast to balance out the ship so it sails straight.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right, Bonnie. And that's really what is written. When you look at the Torah and you look at Genesis and you read in there in the English language where it says that Eve was a helper, a helpmate for Adam, it actually in the Hebrew language, it says a help against him.
Yes.
And a lot of commentators have, Hebrew commentators have said that it is to bring about a balance.
Yes.
In this relationship between a man and a woman. And,
yes.
And that's exactly the way it should be.
Absolutely. Bring it up, throw it on the table. Both of you chew over it. Don't fight or dominate each other. Just chew on it, both of you, and you'll arrive at a good middle course. In fact, I remember I was doing a Bible study, and this was one of the slides. And when I Googled, when I searched Ezer Konegdo, I think it was on a Hebrew site. It came out. The husband and wife were in a dark room, sitting over a small table between them with an exposed light bulb right above their heads, glaring at each other, and just both of them ready to offer their, but it looked a little bit more like, you know, let's just sit here until we can agree, bud. But yeah, the English version doesn't carry at all the meaning of the Hebrew version.
No, it doesn't. And, you know, I know a lot of times, Bonnie, men will, they look at Genesis, they And then they look at Paul's writings and they try to surmise that, oh, well, there's this authoritative rule. It's God's way of doing it, that he made man and, you know, and then he made a woman. And of course, they say they like to refer back to where, you know, where it says in Genesis chapter 3 that he shall rule over you.
Yeah.
But where they make the mistake in this is that actually in the Hebrew language, it wasn't that God was giving Adam a reward, because he is actually held accountable for what happened in the garden, even in the New Testament. So, but what it does say when you're looking at the Hebrew version of this is that he basically, he rules over his wife as a result of the fall itself. In other words,
yes,
he becomes a falling creature. And so therefore, wronger is there with love in a balanced relationship, but it's a prophecy, basically. It's a prophecy
of the results of sin, because God didn't do that. God did not prophesy that. God strengthened her pain in childbirth, but he did not. He's just saying this is going to happen to you, because in a sinful situation, Satan is going to put the man over you.
Well, even in that verbiage there, Bonnie, it's not even, it's still the whole part about, you know, that you shall bring forth children in sorrow and in pain. In the Hebrew language, what that is referring to is that, and again, it's more like a prophecy, one will cause you sorrow, the other will cause you pain. It wasn't that women were cursed to suffer some kind of a laborious event. If that's the case, modern day medicine has made it to where it's nowhere near like that. But what it was, though, is that one child was going to kill the other. And, you know, the Heavenly Father knew that. And so, again, it was a prophetic overtone showing that one child would cause her pain, the other would cause her sorrow, because they were still both her sons. So she loved one and the other one, you know, or she loved them both, I should say. But in this case here, because one kills the other, it's a painful thing to happen, but also a sorrowful thing that her son has died.
Yeah. You know, to the woman, he said, I don't know, I'm reading it in English, I will increase your pains. So it sounds like that is active voice. Unto the woman, he said, yeah, I will multiply. But yes, certainly greatly multiply your sorrow, and it should bring forth children.
Yeah, because you see, when you read it, it says, El Haisha Amar, Haraba Arobe. That arobe is also a word that in one other place in the Torah, it is translated as lying in wait.
Mm.
It's not, see, we normally take it as like greatly multiply, but it doesn't always mean greatly multiply. You know, it was a snare that happened, and yet at the same time, it is a pain and a travail. So what happens is the serpent, when we read here, harabe, and it's vowel placement that we're typically looking at. And just recently, I was dealing with the Book of Enoch, and I was just reading it in the Dead Sea Scrolls, and I'm reading it in Hebrew, and I'm like, oh my gosh, who in the world ever translated this way? You know, I was talking about where they're going to, you know, it was a sign. They had translated it, taught the signs of the moon, the signs of the sun, et cetera, stuff like that. But it's using the word Aleph and the word Nechashi. And if you take them together to begin with, it is literally 1,000 serpents. And the Nechashi, the Yod, is the plural form for Nechash. And I'm looking at this, and of course I know that in Hebrew we have about, I would give or take about 6 words that we use for the word taught, teach, things like that. Mm-hmm. And just not where it should be going. And I'm like, wow, this is like nuts.
Yeah,
anyway, I'll go down a rabbit hole here.
I'm afraid we're gonna lose the audience. I mean, it's fascinating for us, but yeah, there we go. Okay, but yes, Genesis 3 says something very different in the Hebrew than in the English. But we can certainly see the fruits of sin in this. Was there another law that they promulgated?
Wait a minute, I'm kind of losing my thought here. Going back to Genesis again?
No, going back to Israel, that they have passed the essentially two, making said, the secular right. courts irrelevant.
Right. That, and that's really, and I told my wife when this first began, I said, you're going to see that the first thing they're going to do is clip the wings of the Supreme Court.
Yep.
Said, because if they don't clip the wings of the Supreme Court, then yep. the Supreme Court is going to begin to override everything that they're doing.
That's right.
And the only way they can bring about a new world order is first clip their wings so that they can establish their dominance.
Yes.
Over the state of Israel and over the people of Israel yeah. in order to make it appear that this is biblical prophecy being yes. fulfilled.
Very, very, very evil. Yes. Okay. We shall tune in for Yana. Again, what is Yana's, how can she, how can people
see? The easiest way to catch her videos, of course, you can read some of her articles. She'll be writing another one, I know, pretty soon on IsraeliNewsLive.org. But her channel that she's using now is on Odyssey.com. And then just look up Israeli News Live. And that's where all of her content is loaded. Because some of her content she does exclusively there. Others is still on Israeli News Live YouTube channel. But either way, on Odyssey, you won't miss anything that she does.
All righty. Good, good, good. For an update on what's happening in Israel. Okay, now is there something happening in Ukraine?
Yes, we actually, this morning, I got a message, an urgent message from Washington. And it was, Bonnie, it was a situation of a possible dirty bomb being prepared and also to be blamed on Russia. Now, this is, you know, some people would think, well, that, you know, we've been listening to this now for months. And, you know, in fact, ever since Russia went in, we've been hearing about this. And even before that, we've been hearing about this. And that is true. There has always been threats and there's been back and forth. And in fact, even in our own reporting, we've dealt with the situation with Russia possibly going to allow the Ukrainians to hit the nuclear power plant and make it a wasteland in there, just kind of pulling back and allowing that to happen if they could not turn this war. But now that Russia is turning the war, and even before then, there's been talk many times about dirty bombs being set off. Now, this time, though, I get a message from D.C. It was an urgent message. And the reason it was urgent, and even though it is on that same subject, is because now we have, and we don't know if they're Ukrainian or NATO forces on the ground near the front lines that were wearing the NBC suits or hazmat suits for nuclear fallout radiation. And so it is suspected, and through some of the intel that's been intercepted, that Ukraine is, in fact, preparing a dirty bomb and are going to blame it on Russia. I asked about a time frame on this. They said within 60 days, it's anticipated that this could take place. And they believe that it's going to be kind of in conjunction with the German tanks coming on the battlefield and Ukraine's counteroffensive that they plan on. Lobbying against Russia. And when I say that, it's because the green light has been given from the West for the German and for the Abrams to be using these uranium spent shells for their weapons and their tanks. That they'll be carrying them doesn't mean that they necessarily will use them, but they will carry them. And just a little brief so people understand what that means when you're saying uranium spent shells. When you're using spent uranium, it is far, far harder than any kind of steel that we produce. And so what they do, Bonnie, is they make it like an arrowhead on the tank missiles using the spent uranium, and it has the ability to pierce any type of armor that there is in the world anywhere. But it has a very bad radioactive fallout as well. And the reason why they're wanting to introduce these shells on the battlefield is because Russia is using their remote control tanks on the battlefield, and they are deadly as they come. And Russia doesn't have to have anybody in their tank. They're able to do it just like a drone in the air. They control their tanks. They could or could not, but generally speaking, they don't even have anybody in there. They send those tanks, full-size tanks, on the battlefield, and they are wiping out everything that we have sent into this battle thus far because we've not sent any of our own latest technology. So it is believed that the Germans and the U.S. troops will use those spent shells when they do. Russia's already said at that point, if they use them, that everything is on the table for them to use in their arsenal. And that's when we believe that there's going to be a dirty bomb used blamed on Russia, because it'll be said that Russia was retaliating with a tactical nuke. This is the way we believe it's going to go down. They're going to call it a tactical nuke. And once they do, it's going to get bad.
Well, I mean, it's just convoluting. Now, the depleted uranium ammunition, that is what contaminated the Middle East.
Yes, and Yugoslavia. It was used in Yugoslavia as well.
Oh.
The cancer rates are up in Iraq. The birth defects are up as a result of this. And not only that, Bonnie, the soldiers that use it are also are exposed to high radiation. And then we put armor on tanks, fronts of the tanks mainly, that also are using depleted uranium mixed into the steel itself to make it much harder so that the enemy's shells cannot pierce our own tanks. So when they do are successful to some degree, though, then you make it like a nuclear bomb went off on the tank. And that's also, too, when a spent uranium shell goes through an armored personnel carrier or a tank or whatever the case may be, it's like you have detonated a dirty bomb because it is highly radioactive. So it's not just the fact that it will obliterate everything in the tank because it creates such a massive fire that's unbelievable. So you pretty much scorch to death anybody that's in those vehicles. But then as well, you now have radioactive particles everywhere in that vicinity of when this attack takes place.
Well, I have read where some of the soldiers coming back from the Middle East have never had a normal child since then. They had normal children up to then. After that, no more normal children. So this is certainly a new... I won't say height, I'll say depth. This is certainly a new depth of fighting in Ukraine. It'll take divine hand to clean this world up at the end of all this, but that is awful.
Yes, it is, Bonnie. And there's another thing that's going on as well in Ukraine that is very disturbing to hear this information, and that is the Ukrainian soldiers or the Ukrainian military have stooped, and they've done this before, but they're doing it again now. They have stooped to the point of kidnapping able-bodied men, putting them on the front lines, only with an AK-47, no grenades, no nothing, putting them on the front line to fight. The death toll has grown so high, so rapidly. In fact, the life expectancy is less than 30 days of any soldier going to the front lines from Ukraine right now. And so they're just totally, the morale has just gone to a zero. And then I even asked, I said, well, what about contract fighters going into fighting Ukraine? And they said even the contract fighters are not wanting to fight on this battlefront any longer. They know that they're being used as just cannon fodder.
Yes.
And the Russians are having such heavy advances. In fact, I had confirmed with a friend of mine over in Donetsk, today just to see what else was going on. And he confirmed that, yes, he said Russia has, he said he said there was one place, I think it's Dachau, he said where the Ukrainian forces had retaken that one small area there. But he said as a whole, though, he said Russia, even to this morning, had taken 5 kilometers. That's a huge jump when you're on the front lines to take 5 kilometers. And I was actually trying to grab the other computer just so I can see it, because I knew he was going to give me some more updates, just in case I happen to catch that real quick before we run out of time here. But there's another thing too, Bonnie, that I wanted to mention to you. And I wasn't thinking about this. I sent this picture to you earlier with the moon, and it looks like, who knows, maybe Venus, Jupiter, or something like that off to the side of the moon. But in the course of the meeting, when I'm sitting here looking at my notes here, there's another big issue that the White House is having a very difficult time keeping it under wraps. and that is the alien presence on the moon. We have a very, very large extraterrestrial presence on the moon right now, and the cosmonauts and the astronauts are beginning to leak that information. I actually, because of that, I went in to see, once I was told this, to see, has that type of information been spoken about? And oddly enough, it has. I haven't confirmed on U.S. astronauts, so I don't know exactly where all that is going on. But it is true that the situation on the moon has become a big issue. I was told that the White House is trying to figure out a way to keep it under wraps. And this, to me, though, is kind of strange, though, because I thought to myself, well, we've known this for a long time. Why now? And I was told that the reason now has become an issue is because if there is any type of heavenly war that is about to take place, the moon will be the staging area. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, well, I mean, it's like Twilight Zone stuff, right?
I guess so. I need a break.
Right. I don't even think about that, right? I'm like, you got to be kidding me. But it was so nonchalantly said, you know, but then again, I'm talking to a man that sits there, advises the Joint Chiefs of Staff, right? And so he's sitting there talking it like that, you know, like, no big deal. They're, you know, that'll be their staging point. You know, it's kind of like they're preparing before they kind of decide to come flying in. You know, but then you think about Blue Beam Project, and is it going to be just something that's going to be faked or what? You know, but who knows? I don't know what to think of these things anymore, Bonnie. It's gotten too crazy. But yet, even biblically, we know there's like a war, you know, from heaven. Yeah. You know, I mean, so I don't know what to think about these things. That's me. I'm at a loss for words at this point.
You know, when it says Satan is cast out, I wonder if that's cast out of the heavenly courts, because the last we knew in Job, he was still free to go into the heavenly courts and accuse us, and I think he's still doing that. So I think there is some termination where he is bound to this earth, so which is what Revelation says, that he realizes, you know, he's bound here, he has a very short time, and that's when he turns into the raging lion, as if he hadn't been a raging lion for 6,000 years. Goodness.
I get an answer, by the way, for what we saw on the moon. I just happened to find it in Russian media. It is, the moon is between Jupiter and Venus. So, Bonnie, you were right. You got it right.
An alignment. But I think that in general, the alien presence in the sky, in cities, is becoming much more overt. They know they're going to be able to reveal themselves. And when I see Blue Beam, when I hear faked alien invasion, I think, you know, I think it's not going to be all that fake.
I have a feeling the same. And I,
it might be a combination.
To support that. Right, right. It very much, and it could be, because even they will use fake types of things to make it appear that they're stronger than what they probably actually are.
Yes.
It's pretty nutty, Bonnie. It's pretty doggone nutty.
Yes. And it's not going to be boring. And I think I ended the first session telling a story of how Father miraculously protected my friend, who had asked them in a prayer, "Are you really able to protect me when this happens?" You know, that is something we have to keep in our minds, that God loves us more than we'll ever know. We have no idea the depth of his love for us. And he is omnipotent, and he can save us. Unfortunately, we're pretty much out of time, Stephen.
I see that. So you guys have a great night.
Okay. Thank you so much for being with us. And I don't know if anybody will sleep tonight after hearing that, but Father, will be back.